Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you here yet again on the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you, and it is here on Friday morning anyway, a brilliant, bright, and glorious morning. And if you're listening on the rebroadcast on Saturday and Sunday, I hear the weather's not supposed to be too bad then either. So, you know, it seems like I always revert to the weather to speak about at the beginning of the program, but that's a very Minnesotan thing to do. And since we're a local Minnesotan show, I figure that's just fine. So it is summer. I wanted to check up on you since last week. How are you doing on that summer reading list? Did you acquire any of the books recommended by the Office of Evangelization there in the Archdiocese? Did you go on their website and check out any of those books? Did you pick one up? Did you start reading? Or maybe you have your own list. And again, I very much encourage you to have at least one title on that list that helps deepen our relationship with Christ, deepen our faith and our trust in Him, as summer hopefully does afford the opportunity to be a little bit more pointed towards relaxation maybe, or rejuvenation, or recreation, then certainly invite our Lord and our Lady into that time and help them to guide and lead you into a deeper encounter with them and with the living God. So I hope that you are doing that. And then if there happen to be any young people out there, what are you doing with your summer? How was 4th of July for everyone as well? Did you get out and see some fireworks? I certainly hope so. We had our little nephew, Oliver, shout out to him if he happens to be listening. Hello, Oliver, with us, and we let off some fireworks, and it was a grand old time. We really enjoyed it, and certainly having a youngster in and around us is a good way of really getting into the spirit of summer, that spirit of freedom where the long and lazy and hazy days can help us to, again, refocus and maybe get some much-needed time to focus again yet on our Lord and our calling in life. And you know, today, just thinking about specifically with young people and with the needs that they have, there are some, of course, in our midst that have some needs that go a little bit beyond what we might first consider. People with disabilities, I'm thinking of people with special needs, and that's what we're focusing on today. Specifically, have you ever heard about the Special Followers of Christ? Have you heard about them? The mission of this ministry is to enable, enhance, and foster education and spiritual and social development of those persons with disabilities in our parish communities and to advocate on their behalf. It recognizes the human dignity and worth of every human being, which of course comes straight out of Genesis for us, that we are all created in the image and likeness of God and therefore have innate dignity as human beings. And they provide adaptive sacramental preparation, faith formation, and social opportunities. And I have to state right now that in my other life, in my day job, when I'm providing some sacramental prep there at the cathedral, I know that, yes, there are these people who come along and they need some adaptive formation, that the standard programs, the standard processes will not work. And so I, for one, am very much looking forward to hearing from our guests today. We're going to be starting out with Katie Bratland and Mike McNeil, who work with Special Followers of Christ at St. Patrick's in Oak Grove and at St. Catherine Drexel and Ramsey, respectively. And then a little bit later on, we're going to be hearing from Deacon Sean Curtin and his wife, Joan, who work with disabled persons with the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. So yeah, I think there's a lot that we can all stand to gain from this, and perhaps if some of our listeners have family members with disabilities, might be thinking, I'd like to get involved with something like that, then certainly you should stay tuned, because there's going to be lots of opportunities to find out more about how these ministries operate and how you can get involved. So I hope that whets your appetite a little bit as to what's coming up in the next hour here on the Rediscover Hour. But before we launch into our time and finding out more about Special Followers of Christ, let's pause as always and commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to be right back with Katie Bratland and Mike McNeil to hear more about special followers of Christ. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services have scheduled a pre-planning seminar for this month. A pre-planning seminar will provide you with information and the time to ask questions and learn about all of your end-of-life options in a calm and rational atmosphere. Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services offers unequaled quality and value and has been a part of the Twin Cities community for 160 years. These pre-planning seminars come with free pre-planning. They can also visit you in your home for a private discussion. The number to call to attend or receive free pre-planning materials from Washburn McGreevy is 612-377-2203. You can trust your arrangements to their professionals dedicated to excellence in end-of-life arrangements. Start the pre-planning process this month or meet with a Washburn McGreevy representative with no obligation. Call 612-377-2203. The 16 Twin Cities locations of Washburn McGreevy present the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio.
For the city, for the world we pray. Let your light shine down, come around and live in us.
Ooh, yeah. I like that bass line right there. Some people may not know it, but I'm a bit of a closet bass player as well. I like that it laid down it very well there. So, as we are coming back here to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, it's my pleasure to welcome to the studio both Katie Bratland and Mike McNeil. Again, Katie and Mike both work with Special Followers of Christ in the northern suburbs. Specifically, Katie's at St. Patrick's in Oak Grove, and Mike is at St. Catherine Drexel in Ramsey, where he also serves as the Pastoral Associate and Lifelong Faith Formation and Youth Ministry Director there at St. Catherine Drexel. So welcome to the program to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you in here. So I'm just, you know, this is kind of brand new territory for me. I'll be honest that until we started talking about the show, specifically, I had not even heard of Special Followers of Christ. So how did this all get started? Mike, maybe we'll start with you. How did this all get started?
Oh, I'd turn that over to Katie right away. She's been involved with it a little bit longer than I have.
Okay,
been,
good.
But I would turn it over to her.
Now. All right, Katie.
Well, I am a mom of a special needs son, Dan, who's 28. He has autism. And so all through his faith formation, I was his helper in his classes. And there really wasn't anything there for him. He would engage for maybe about 7 minutes, and then it was just not material made for him. And so knowing that and being a catechist for over 20 years, I just knew that there's nothing really there to help them succeed and to receive the sacraments in their faith. And so with my pastor's blessing, I decided to reach out to the other area Catholic churches and thought that it would be great if we could put together our resources and provide sacramental classes for the children and social events for children and adults with special needs, and then use each other and help each other so that we could help those with special needs so that they could get their faith formation as well and be a part of the community.
Right. So this is, like you're saying here, this is a partnership that's formed between six parishes, is it?
Yes.
Yes. So St. Catherine Drexel in Ramsey, Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and St. Stephen's in Anoka, St. Vincent de Paul in Maple Grove, Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, and then St. Patrick's in Oak Grove.
Okay. Wow. So starting from where you said, Katie, how did you start to incorporate, or was it just kind of spread by word of mouth, or did you know people in these other parishes, or how did all six parishes start to become involved?
We're all pretty close to each other,
right? And right. That helps. Yes.
So just reaching out to each one of the parishes to see if this is something that they would like to do. That's how we started. And then we also went to one of the deanery meetings so that we could include all 12 churches if they wanted to be a part of this as well.
Right.
So just kind of reaching out. And
yeah, it's amazing what communication can do, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
And 2 years ago when I came to St. Catherine Drexel, they mentioned, on your ministry list, we have a special followers ministry. So it was up and running. I came up from the Diocese of New Ulm to St. Catherine Drexel about 2 years ago. And so it was already on the agenda at St. Catherine Drexel. And so I said, absolutely. And my background was special followers would be in New Ulm Diocese. I led a Lectio Divina Bible study group at the local ProWorks industries where people with special needs could do a little Bible study, and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay.
And so then when I saw, hey, that's on my list of ministries that I was responsible for, I was like, I want to put some energy in and definitely focus on the special followers ministry.
Right.
And so attend the meetings and contribute to the consortium of the six parishes. So that's kind of my background on it.
Right.
But I've only been involved with the last 2 years.
Okay.
Katie goes back a little further than that.
Yeah.
The beginning.
Yeah. Well, so I'm just curious about, is this, it sounds to me like Special Followers of Christ kind of grew up rather organically in the northern suburbs there.
Yes.
And I'm sure that other dioceses have programs to help with faith formation. Well, I'm hoping that they do for those with special needs. But this ministry currently just operates in those six parishes. Is that right? It's not a nationwide thing or okay.
No, just in the six.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious then too, are you looking to expand beyond those six, or is it hoping to stay just kind of a local thing?
Oh, our attitude is we invite people to learn about our ministries and to start their own special followers network in different parts of the diocese, or anybody who wants to feels they're called to reach out to our special followers, to we want to support their efforts.
Right.
And our ideal would be people hear about it and say, yeah, we can do this in the south suburbs, or we can be in another deanery in the west or east and start our own group. And so that's our hope in with this ministry. We don't, it's not like a franchise or anything like that. We just, if the good Lord calls you to it,
amen. Well, let's hear more about it then. Let's learn more about it. So how specifically is do you structure things like sacramental preparation and faith formation?
So in our classes, we really take a look to see who is in the class and what their needs are. So our classes are kept small to help them. We know that sometimes they might need to wander, and that's okay too. So we specifically design the class, and Patty, my team teacher and friend, we develop the class for the year and write the material that we know that the kids will be able to understand. And so we start with very visual, very hands-on movement, so that we can, you know, let everybody get a little break here and there, and then follow up with an activity that just reinforces what the children had learned. So we write the lessons. I know Loyola does a nonverbal kit right now, and it's a great kit, but I think that too, these children are able to do more, and so let's provide them the very best that we can, because we all need to grow in our faith.
Right. So you're essentially rewriting the curriculum every year based on who's in the class?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And I thought my job was tough.
We're busy.
Yep. Yeah, I guess so. Wow. And so do you have a good idea, say around this time of year, around July, about who's going to be in the class in the coming fall? Or do you get kind of late arrivals as well? And
well, we do have several that return back, so we know that they will be there. But we start because of, in August, usually the churches kind of start getting their numbers together and knowing who has special needs or who needs a little extra help, who doesn't. So in August, you know, we'll get a better idea. Besides our returning wonderful students, we'll get a better idea what else the needs are out there. And so last year we didn't have anyone for the sacramental class, so we did a Bible study. Mm. And while we're in the class with the kids, we also have a speaker come in and be with the parents so that they can also grow in their holiness.
Nice.
And so everybody's getting fed.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. And so do these classes that you're talking about, is that kind of all six parishes send their special needs youngsters to you, to the one class? Or do they, are they each holding their own separate classes, or how does that work?
We have one class right now, or we could have two classes going on at the same time. But basically, the Church of St. Stephen's in Anoka and my home parish, St. Patrick's in Oak Grove, we have the classes there. And we kind of rotate just because they are coming from different areas. And so we rotate, you know, one week it might be at St. Stephen's and the other week it might be at St. Patrick's. And we have classes on Saturday because... at nighttime, you know, the kids are pretty spent. And so we do it on Saturday morning where they're fresh and ready to go. And it's an hour long. And they really seem to enjoy it. They love coming back. And they're just so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's Saturday morning is always so more courteous to parents usually, too. If they're on a workaday schedule, it's sometimes hard to hop in the car after dinner and go out again, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Being a... I'm empathizing with you here, being a faith formation person myself. Mike, what's your role with, I mean, you said that you gladly took it on when you took the position there at St. Catherine Drexel, but how do you interact now? What does St. Catherine Drexel provide?
Well, we provide more of a social opportunity in the summer.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we're putting on our role is we put on a picnic, and our picnic's coming up on July 27th.
Oh.
And so it's a real kind of easy breezy. I provide the root beer floats and and tell people bring their picnic bring their picnic basket and there'll be an opportunity for families to just relax and network with each other and just enjoy the Central Park and up in Ramsey. And so we start at like 5:30 and I don't prepare the food. They bring their own picnic basket.
Wow.
And so so it's really more of a social networking event so that families can compare notes, and different parishes in our consortium do different social events. I know we've had other churches have done Stations of the Cross, and Katie's parish up in Oak Grove does.
We've done dances,
yeah,
bingo.
Oh, nice.
We're very fortunate because our Circles of Clada, our women's groups, and our Knights of Columbus are very supportive of what we're doing, and so they help provide the dances and the bingos, and so we're very blessed that they see the need and they have fun too doing it. So
right,
yeah, I was able to go to Katie's dance, and it was just super duper fun, and You ended the dance at a reasonable hour. It wasn't super late, but I was just like, wow. And for anybody who missed it, they just missed a joyful evening because the kids and it's adults too. It's older people. It's not just special followers. It isn't just for children.
Yeah.
You might have a family member who's in their 20s and 30s. They're welcome too because it is all ages we try to reach out to because we want to advocate that our parishes are welcoming to all people and we want to be inclusive.
Sure.
So, yeah.
The one thing neat about the social events and the classes that I've noticed is that those that are participating, they are making some really great friends.
Mm.
And the parents are making some great friends, and they're able to network and ask questions like, oh, no, my child's turning 18. What do you do about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then also siblings, which is so important because... they get to see that they're not the only one that has a brother or sister with special needs. And there's a bond there because somebody else can kind of understand maybe what they're going through if there's, you know, different things going on. So that's such a positive that has come from this. We have families that now go camping together.
Oh, nice.
You know, that never would have been able to, you know, they never would have met. So
it's
pretty cool.
Right. Well, it sounds like just fantastic opportunities all around. But how many students do you have and how many families do you have involved in Special Followers of Christ?
Oh, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say.
I know at St. Catherine Drexel because that's what I'm most familiar with. We have about 12 families that are on our mailing list with members of special needs. And so I'm involved with keeping track of those 12 and letting them know about the different opportunities at the different parishes. And so there are people that can get on our emailing list from us. We don't send out much mail, but email, you can contact us, and usually through each parish's website, we'll have a little button that you can contact. And if you want more information, you can just, contact us and you can get on our mailing list. And Monica, one of our representatives from one of the parishes, helps maintain our email address, our email list.
Right.
And so.
Right. And I don't want to create like a flood here for you, but
no,
I'm going to say it anyway. So if there happens to be a listener listening and they happen to have either a child or a relative or something like that with special needs, but let's say they're in Cottage Grove is a little too far. Well, I don't know, maybe not. But but if they think, I would like my child to be involved in this, can people from outside those six parishes come and be part?
Most definitely.
Definitely, yeah. All right.
Last year at the picnic, what was nice for me to see was people from the different areas. I was going to say out from Blaine and just farther out. I mean, we are seeing Catherine Drexel families, but then that was augmented by other families who came and enjoyed the outdoors.
And so,
anybody who wants to travel and join any of these events at these different parishes are welcome.
Right.
It's a fun environment. It's a safe environment. And, when you know that that you can go and you'll be welcome no matter what, that, you'll travel because there isn't really very many opportunities that are out there.
Right. So I'm putting my Faith Formation Director hat back on here, and I'm just more curious about some of the ins and outs of the actual program, the classes and that sort of thing. And I'm thinking specifically around, let's say, sacramental prep or First Communion prep or something like that. I can understand, having worked now only for a few years, but knowing people who've worked for many years in this area, it's a tremendous joy, but it's also a tremendous challenge for kids without special needs. So I'm just curious as to, can you give me an example of how you structure the classes specifically in terms of sacramental prep that helps the kids understand what the Holy Eucharist is, for example?
Okay, sure. Yeah. We start by, saying what Holy Communion is. It's Jesus, and it's a gift that we're able to have. And so we start out slow, we'll talk about the Last Supper, and we'll make a loaf of bread, and the kids will get involved making the loaf of bread, and we'll talk about the Last Supper. And this is how, it started. And so Jesus said, "This is my body." So we'll do that, and then we'll do a lot of practicing in between, and they know that, it's an unconsecrated host, it's not Jesus.
Right.
And we'll do a lot of, confirming that Jesus in the tabernacle, Jesus on the cross, Jesus on the altar. And so we do that. We do have, sometimes we'll have a priest or a seminarian come in and talk to the kids in regards to that. So
right.
We try to, just more hands-on and more, maybe a little faster pace. I mean, having long discussions doesn't work so well.
45-minute lecture on Eucharistic theology is probably not on tap there. Yeah.
Right. We try to move away from that for this population and our special followers.
I don't think it would fly with our second graders either, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. What kind of special needs do you see involved? I mean, developmental disabilities, learning disabilities? Are we talking physical disabilities, all of the above?
Well, Special Followers is open to all of the above. A lot of Down syndrome families with a child, but that's...
Down syndrome, autism. We have one that had some mental challenges and not able to speak. We have ADHD. It's just kind of, it's interesting because there's a lot going on mm-hmm. in the classroom mm-hmm. because there are so many different needs yeah. and disabilities that are in the classroom.
Yeah, right. It's not just a cut and dried cookie cutter type of thing.
Correct.
Especially if you're creating the curriculum every year. Oh my goodness. That just gives me a headache just thinking about it. God bless you, seriously.
Thank you.
So you said a little bit about, let's turn to the families a little bit. You said a little bit about how the networking is such an important part, that you have parents and siblings who are of people with special needs who are getting to know one another and becoming the support community as well. Are there other things that you would, either that you do or that you encourage families to do on their own to help help support or to support these families in families of people with special needs?
Well, they've kind of taken it on themselves. They're like, hey, we're having a picnic over here. Come, or we're going bowling. Come and join. Or we're having a birthday party. Come and be. So they are reaching out, and they are seeing that, you know, there's some of them that in regards, like, let's say the sacraments, they really couldn't have made it in a typical class, so they thought that their child would never, ever be able to receive the sacraments. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. And you see them blossom, too, and taking more ownership and part of the church as well.
Right.
It's like, oh, you know, I feel a little more welcomed here because my child can be here, can participate. And so it's neat just to see them start arranging their own social events, but also being more involved in the church.
Right.
It's providing an opportunity for families to network so they don't feel, oh, we're all by ourselves.
Right.
Like, nope, you would be surprised of how big a need there is out there. And, mm-hmm. and we, as a Catholic church, we want to reach out to all people. So we provide maybe the environment, but then really the families do allow the Spirit to connect themselves with each other and
yeah.
let the Spirit work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously very important on all aspects to have letting the Spirit work. But I would imagine that in particular, some of the challenges that families with special needs members face, I can understand that would be, it would be unique enough that they would feel rather isolated when left to themselves. But I can see the real value in that networking. So what about, let's go back to this picnic that you've got coming up. It hasn't occurred yet.
No.
Would this be a place for, say, somebody who's just now hearing about special followers, would this be a place for them to come and find out more?
Oh, absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
Well, give us the details then,
details,
Mike.
Oh my gosh, it's a simple picnic at the Ramsey Central Park, and it starts July 27th at about 5:30. Bring your picnic basket. And then at 6:30, there'll be some games and root beer floats will be served. And it's at the Lions Pavilion in Ramsey. Ramsey Park is kind of a good-sized park, but it's the Lions Pavilion. And it's at 7925 161st Avenue Northwest, Ramsey, Minnesota. So if people want to come and join and meet others, that they're very welcome.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, there's an opportunity to say, yep, we're coming. Or I believe on the St. Catherine Drexel website, there's also a place to say, yep, we'd like to register too. And it just helps me. That just helps me to figure out how much
root beer and ice cream you need, right?
Yeah. And it's a smaller gathering. I mean, it's, you know, if we have about, last year, I think we had just over a dozen, maybe less than two dozen families that gathered. But it was neat because it was a combination of both from Ramsey and from the other suburbs. And so you met people and they got to visit. And the families, some families were throwing balls, others were bouncing beach balls. And so they, different things for different people. And so after a couple hours, people went home. But what was nice is I always, at these meetings, we always say, or gatherings, we always say, oh, would you like to get on our email list? And so you can get on, you know, come and get on the email list to find out about other events.
Right.
And, I was going to say, come September, our new schedule will be coming out. So our schedule of events is not on our Facebook page at this moment. But if people are interested in learning more, check our Facebook page out in September 1st or so. All six parishes will have an idea of when and where their events will be being held.
The events are going on. Yeah.
General schedule, but it's the exact dates and times are not published yet. But they will be coming out because we do follow kind of a... school schedule kind of and a summer, program, yeah. summer schedule. And so,
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So what about, are you in the market for any, say there's somebody listening who thinks, well, this sounds very intriguing. I'd love to be involved with something like this, even if they don't have somebody with special needs or disabilities in their own family. Are you open to volunteers coming and helping out?
Yes, absolutely. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. The more, okay. The more the richer, that's for sure.
By the way, just for the listener's sake, these are legitimate questions, okay? I'm not trying to bait them down a specific line. I thought maybe they might say no. All right, so if somebody is interested in volunteering, what are some of the different things that they might be able to do? And then how can they find out more or how can they get in touch with somebody?
Well, if they're interested in hosting a social event at their parish, you know, just saying, hey, that sounds like a great idea. They can get involved that way. They can get involved in being a catechist. They can get involved in just attending and you know, showing up and if saying, hey, do you need any help? We'd love to help you. Or they can get in contact with Mike at St. Catherine Drexel, or they can get in contact with me, Katie, at St. Patrick's, too, if they wanted to speak to one of us.
Okay.
Or any of the representatives from the six parishes yes. in the northwest suburbs. There would be somebody that would say, oh, we'd love to have your gifts and talents. So yeah. there are six parishes that are involved with this. And so any of those six parishes should have somebody, a representative, that they could contact. We do... As representatives, we get together periodically at St. Stephen's in Anoka. That's kind of nicely centrally located. And then to share our schedules and to share our successes and to share our concerns. But the representatives get together and we say, oh, yeah. I know the last time we got together, we said, yep, can everybody enter something on our Facebook page? I mean, do you have the permissions to do that? And we said, oh, yeah, because it helps when every church is independent. We're a consortium. It's not centrally located. We're a group. And so if one church wants to do this or one church wants to do that or is set up for the classes and other churches set up for social events, each parish can work with their pastor and say how they can contribute to this.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't have to be, it's not a particularly structured thing that you have to take on, but it's rather, I think we could do this. Would that be welcome? And it sounds to me like, yeah. Whatever you feel like the Lord is leading you to offer, you're open to factoring that in.
And that's our structure is kind of exciting as a lay ecclesial minister that it's not one parish taking it on, but every parish can contribute in a way that fits for them. Mm-hmm. And so whether they have space, more space than another parish, or the pastor says, yep, let's run with this, so it's not like, oh, we have to get together and get permission from other parishes. We just talk to each other and coordinate to say, oh, you guys, so we try not to have two May crownings in the same month.
That makes sense, and yes,
so
right.
That's the beauty of it. I think that's kind of the way of the future in some ways about sharing resources between parishes, that this is more than one parish can take on.
Yeah.
And every parish has members with special needs, but it's great to have, instead of having two kids in a class, that we can get four, six, you know, possibly eight kids from different parishes coming together. That's nice. And so it's really neat because it's decentralized in some ways, which is nice.
Right. So just as a reminder, can you tell us the six parishes that are involved once again? Because you said information about Special Fathers of Christ is available, should be available on all their parish websites.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. We have the Church of Epiphany in Coon Rapids and St. Catherine Drexel in Ramsey, Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, and St. Patrick's in Oak Grove, and St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Anoka, and St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park. And I think that's all six, isn't it, Katie?
Got it.
That's
six, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, wonderful. Okay. So we're winding down on time here, but one final question. I know it goes fast, doesn't it?
You told it was going to go fast, and you didn't lie to us, Patrick. That's great.
So, so one final question for each of you, just an answer from each of you. So what would you say, how would you encourage those families with special needs who are, what would you encourage them to do? But maybe even more so, maybe a more pointed question is, how can you encourage those of us, just all of our listeners right now, to be in support of families with special needs? Anything specifically? I'm assuming I'm assuming prayer is right at the top of the list, but any specific ways we can pray? Are there other things that we can do to support those around us who have special needs?
Just showing your support and encouraging them. I know that there are so many families out there that they don't go to church anymore because their little one or adult gets stared at, or, you know, maybe they need to wear a helmet for protection. And we just need to be more loving and more understanding and gracious and welcoming them so that they can feel a part of the church, and providing these classes that it's like, wow, I didn't know my child could do that. So just being more...
That being welcoming. Yeah. When people come to Mass, when families come to Mass, Mass is a family time, so all members of the family are welcome. And so people who don't have members, family members with special needs, just be welcoming. And if you want to contribute, I know the Knights of Columbus have been very, very supportive over the years in different ways, and like with just
the Tootsie Rolls.
Mm-hmm. Well, just I'm thinking of when they pop the popcorn at the dances socials and they're staffing it and that's really helpful. So there are groups that do welcome and do participate. I was going to say, what can families do? I always say the squeaking wheel gets the oil. Talk to your pastor and say, I'm looking for events or programming or welcoming for my child or sacramental preparation for my child. And that at least puts it on the pastor's radar, because there's so much going on in these parishes. And it's a lot. Being a pastor has a lot of responsibilities and so many different ministries. But just advocating for your family, and then if families join together, when two or more voices come together, boom, that things happen. Yeah. Grace happens. So
yeah. So I hear little things with great love, and I think I've heard that somewhere before. Yeah.
Thank you. Sounds familiar, yeah.
So Katie Bratlin, Mike McNeil, thank you so much for joining us here in the studio for the Rediscover Hour. It's been great to be with you and to hear more about Special Followers of Christ.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
God bless you and all you do. So we are going to take a little bit of a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to have an interview with Deacon Sean Curtin and his wife, Joan, who work with further disabilities here in the Archdiocese. Rediscover.
James Kohler Family Dentistry is helping Relevant Radio listeners with cleaning and maintaining their smiles.
I'm Dr. James Kohler. Along with my staff, we invite you to try our family dental clinic in downtown North St. Paul. Our clinic uses the most up-to-date techniques to ensure you receive exceptional care. We're eager to serve you and your family. We serve all ages and can help protect and correct your dental health. The trust we have built with our patients over the years has kept them coming to us. In fact, I'm proud to say that we are treating third and fourth generations of families. We are committed to making your dental visits comfortable, safe, and positive. Not only do we want our patients to have beautiful, confident smiles, we will help make it affordable.
Appointments are available this week. Call Dr. Kohler at 651-777-6454. 651-777-6454. Or visit relevantradio.com, keyword dentist.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, along with our producer Susanna Boley and our technical producer Paul Sadek, bringing you the show as always here in the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios out in Golden Valley, Minnesota. It's a privilege to know all the things that God is doing here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. And today we've been focusing on specifically what the church is doing towards people with disabilities, for disabled persons. And joining us now in studio are both Deacon Sean Curtin and his wife, Joan. They work in outreach for disabled persons right there in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. It says here, Deacon, that you've been running the Archdiocesan Outreach to Persons with Disabilities since 2008. But experience has gone back much farther than that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Is that right?
Much
okay.
Longer.
So why don't we start with that? So, Joan, why don't we start with you? Tell us about when did the first experience come and how did you get involved with ministry to people with disabilities?
The first experience for us was we had three young daughters, preschoolers, and at the time, we raised our kids, and they went to the school of Assumption Parish in Richfield, and I was chairman of the Social Action Committee. And so this group came around to the churches to get support. This is before there were any group homes. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a council city planning meeting, and that city planning meeting was a real waker-upper, because people were yelling at each other, and they were upset, and, you know, nobody understood people that had any disabilities. Okay. And one lady across the street was worried about the safety of her young children and things like that. So I then went to the city council meeting, and that was a controlled meeting, and of course they got the permit to start the home, and it's still there. And Richfield is, and many other places are full of group homes now. So that was my first experience. We befriended the people at the home. We had picnics at our house. The home was not too far from our home. And we befriended one particular young man who, Doug was his name, and he worked in at the holiday store, and he knew how to read a little bit, and our preschoolers did not know how to read, so he'd come over and he'd read to them, and that made him feel good too.
I would imagine.
That was our first experience.
Okay.
Sean ended up working for Opportunity Partners, and he can tell you that part of it, but that was our very first experience.
Wow. We
had nobody in our families who had ever had a disability. We just felt everybody should have the same opportunities. Mm. And we now have a couple people in our family who have developed disabilities at young ages. So it was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
It was an eye-opener, and we loved it.
Yeah, yeah. It may be a challenging road to walk, but a very rewarding one as well, I'm sure.
Yes.
Deacon
yes.
Sean, why don't you tell us from your perspective there, too, what was some of your first experiences?
My first experiences were that when we had the people coming over from the group home, realizing that each person has their own essence and their own individuality, and they are to be treated like that, not as a group of people with disabilities, but to get to know them one-on-one, and what they enjoy doing, what they dislike, whatever their personality takes them. And we did that. I became on the board of directors for the group home there, and then I got the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to do this for a living. And I thought, do this for a living. And I applied at Opportunity Partners, which is a big organization now, but it was a small organization when I applied. They would not hire me because of my income I was making now, and I had to convince them that I don't mind living in poverty for a little while. Mm. And they they laughed at that, and but they hired me. That point on, it was no turning back. No turning back. It was a vocation to serve people with disabilities and to teach them, to give them life skills and have them meet their potential, whatever that potential happened to be. And sometimes it was a moment-to-moment thing. But I look back and I consider that to be one of my kind of pushing points to become a Catholic deacon. Mm. I think the Holy Spirit had a great influence on me and had to tap me on the shoulder many times and maybe knock me in the head. Are you listening? Are you listening?
I think he does that a lot around here, between Paul and I anyway.
And I would turn around and I would say, are you talking to me? And yes, he was talking to me. So yeah. That's when I decided to turn into that vocation.
That's wonderful.
And a great gift. And now we're doing it for the Archdiocese. And it was the thing that Father Jerry Keefe, who's since passed away, he told me as spiritual direction, he said, see each person that they want to be recognized as a person, regardless of who they are, whatever disability, but they want to be listened to. And the third part is they want to be loved. So if you walk with that three-legged stool, it is true.
And, okay, say it again. So they want to be recognized as an individual.
They want to be recognized as a person.
Yep.
They want to be listened to, and then they want to be loved.
Wow.
And it comes with that, all three of those.
Yeah.
Not just say, oh, I love you, but to recognize them of who they are, and then to listen to where they're at, and to dialogue with them. And I learned that sometimes the hard way, but.
No, that's I completely understand. So just follow up on that. Is that you mentioned, obviously, you're here in your clerical shirt as well and operating as a deacon and everything. So how has actually your being ordained to the diaconate, how has that helped in terms of your overall vocation to serve people with disabilities?
Being ordained as a deacon, is servant.
Yeah.
Servant. Whoever happens to come before you, you see Christ in them and you reach out to serve them and allow them to serve you also. And I learned that from people with disabilities that they want to serve also. Mm-hmm. And to teach a little bit. They taught me a lot. But as a deacon, I walk with Christ and ordained to serve Christ and to see in each of the individuals Christ, and to empower them to come and see this Jesus. Yeah. Come and see this smiling Jesus.
Yeah, that's a very, very important point. So, Joan, I obviously anytime a married man enters the diaconate, he takes his wife along with him. So, I'm just wondering how have you seen that in being Deacon Sean's wife? How has that been helpful in terms of your own? Are you doing this together? Are you doing this as a couple? Is it a vocation that God has given you both?
Oh, yes.
Pretty much has to work that way, doesn't it?
All of the above.
Right, right. Yeah, okay.
That's a hard question. You wouldn't think it would be. Hmm. He's been a deacon, ordained a deacon, 14 years? 16 years, somewhere there. But anyway, it's he very much what he shares with me.
Yeah.
So yeah. I advise kind of a little bit, you know, here and there. He's also finally learning that family should come first because it kind of got pushed away for a while. Mm. And we've met such wonderful people and had such great experiences from him being a deacon. And I never wanted to be a deacon, but that was a question that was asked of me before he was ordained.
Mm.
But we're together with it.
Yeah.
Very much so. And so are we with the Ministry to Disabilities.
That's a great testimony. So, just one of the things we want to make sure and cover is, so now that you're working with the Archdiocese and specifically with people with disabilities through the Archdiocese, what are some of the things that you're doing? What is the Archdiocese offering for people with disabilities? What specifically does your ministry look like?
Our ministry looks like we get multiple calls from around, believe it or not, the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are kind of the flagship of what to do. The last call we had was from Kansas, and they said, how can we start something? Mm-hmm. And we always give them advice on how the parishes here. We try to reach out to the parishes, but to allow them to take it where they need to take it for their own population there, mm-hmm. in their own parishes. And we're there to help to establish, like the beautiful people you had on before. We were there to kind of help them get that going, and they're doing a fantastic job. So we're consultants in that area, but also that we communicate with the national organization. And very, very important to communicate nationwide or worldwide, and making sure that this population is represented. And especially with the church, we have fantastic priests in this archdiocese, and there's not one priest or one deacon that doesn't want everyone to feel that they belong. Mm-hmm. And so it's what's Father Jerry Keefe told me. He said, get up and go work the room. Go work the room. In other words, the church. Go out and touch the people, talk to the people, reach them. Not just the people with disabilities, but as many people as you can touch, and bring Christ to them, and let them see Christ in you, and you see Christ in them. I'll never forget those words from the Holy Man.
Yeah.
So we look at reaching out as the best way we can, and the special way, but to entitle the parishes to take it upon themselves. People say, well, what is the archdiocese doing? And I turned back and said, what is your parish doing? Mm-hmm. You have parents, and if you have your parish, or get together with other parishes, as they talked about the cooperation with other parishes, mm-hmm. to seek out that population.
Right.
And you have it on, first of all, you have snacks, you have music, and you have prayer. And sometimes it's in that order.
Yeah.
And so just to offer it, and to reach out, and to invitation, and it'll work.
Great. Deacon Sean and excuse me, Deacon Sean and Joan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm sorry that our time has been so very short, but it's been a pleasure to have you on the program, and we will definitely pray for you and uphold you and all of your ministry and prayer. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. So stick with us, and we are going to come back here in just a minute, and we are going to talk more about some of the other events that are coming up around our Archdiocese and our community. Rediscover.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management.
If we're going to help the poor, if we're going to spread the word of Christ, if we're going to help people deal with issues of extreme, whether it's tsunamis or things happening in Haiti or different areas of the world with floods, aren't we called to do that? And the people that are dedicating their lives to making that happen, if we're not supporting them financially, how are they going to get the job done? So I almost think there's a little bit of what I'll call self-reflection and prayer again of, if these are things that need to happen, how can they happen without me? And maybe I don't have the time and the ability to go to Haiti or to start a radio station or a Catholic fund, but I better figure out a way to support it.
Our financial need is ongoing. Donate online at relevantradio.com or by using the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio, and I am joined by Paul Sadek, who is on a mic now.
I'm on a mic.
And tell us what's going on, Paul.
Well, you can be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576, or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer 2017 Theology on Tap series to join in mixing good beer with better knowledge. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul this Wednesday, July 12th. To hear from Catholic hip-hop musician Connor Flanagan, who will speak on Rapping for God. Social hours from 6:30 to 7:30, and Connor begins at 7:30. For more information, visit the events page on archsbm.org.
Are you looking to rediscover your Catholic faith, or do you know someone who is thinking about becoming Catholic? Join the Cathedral of St. Paul for Introducing Catholicism, an informal introduction to the breadth and depth of the Catholic faith through Bishop Robert Barron's acclaimed Catholicism series. It started Wednesday, June 21st. It runs through August 30th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. each week, an episode featuring a different aspect of the faith. Have a brief discussion afterwards. No registration required. Call Patrick Conley, 651-357-1340.
Grandparents, come celebrate the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, grandparents of Jesus from Nativity Our Lord's Grandparents Apostolate, on Wednesday, July 26th from 8:45 to 10:30 a.m. in Steiner Hall, with daily mass being offered at 8:15. All grandparents are invited to a time of enrichment, prayer, and fellowship, highlighted by the Reverend Father Alvaro Perez, who will present on Consoling His Heart, the Spirituality of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Refreshments will be served. For more information, visit parish.nativity-mn.org.
The 2017 Leading with Faith Award Luncheon is Thursday, August 10th at the University of St. Thomas. Join us to honor and celebrate Leading with Faith winners. Space is limited. Register today. To find out more, call Mary at 651-251-7709. And a big show next week.
Oh, big show next week. Next week, we're going to hear from Core Bishop Maroon, the pastor of St. Marin's Maronite Catholic Church in Minneapolis. Core Bishop will be joined with Deacon Mickey Friesen, easy for me to say, director for the Center of Mission for the Archdiocese. They'll be on air to speak about the new missional partnership that is being forged for an archdiocese and the Diocese of Damascus. Damascus, yes, that one, in Syria. So that's what's coming up next week. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.